You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
To Matthew 26. If you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your midst. Matthew 26, and jump all the way down to verse 69 through 75 of Matthew 26. And I love the sound of pages turning. That's fantastic. How many of you heard Kung Fu Christian message before? Okay, a couple of you. Awesome. Online. Okay. Well, good. You're going to get it live. So most of you haven't. That's awesome. That's what I was hoping. Okay, Matthew 26, verse 69 through 75. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again. May your word come alive, and may we glean all that we need for this life in order to bring you glory. May we glean it all today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this was the second message that I've ever taught, ever. When my pastor asked me, before this I had done Jesus Rocks, and then I did this, was my second time ever teaching. And it's always held a special place in my heart because of the fact that I'm all about sharing our faith. So let's look at these verses. Matthew 26, 69 through 75. It says, "Now, Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a girl servant came to him." Hang that on your belt, a girl servant. "Saying, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you are saying.' And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him." Another what? Girl. "And said to those who were there, 'This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth.' And he began to deny him with an oath." So he takes an oath. "I do not know the man." "A little later, those who stood came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you.' Then he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know the man.' Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, who said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' So he went out and wept bitterly." Now you understand, after reading that, why I call it Kung Fu Christians. No, you don't. Okay, good. Listen, of all the martial arts styles, there's, you know, there's a ton of different styles. The reason why I chose Kung Fu is because in Kung Fu, the fighting styles take on attributes of animals. You can fight like a tiger or a snake or an eagle. In fact, one time I remember these three dudes came at me. They wanted to jump me, and I was like a chicken. That's my fighting style. But listen, much like a martial artist, we Christians, we train in order to defend our faith. The Bible tells us, be ready to give a what? Defense for the hope that lies within us. Listen, we train as Christians by what? Reading our Bible. Our Bible is a two-edged sword. Talk about a great weapon. Coming to church, and church, it's kind of like our dojo, you know. It's there's strength in numbers. You go to a Bible study, and Bible study is like sparring, you know. It's that iron sharpening iron. And then, of course, we have both private and group prayers, and that's when we put on the full armor of God in our prayer time. And so we train. But what happens is, so often as Christians, we may be training, but then we wimp out in battle. Can you imagine? You turn on a Saturday morning Kung Fu theater, And the hero or the heroine, whichever, instead of acting all strong, acts like a chicken. You know, that'd be cool. But so often as Christians, we train, and then that's exactly what we do when the battle ensues. We come to church, we take in the word, we get empowered. We're to get empowered through the Spirit and through the power of God's word, that sharp two-edged sword. Why? In order to grow in our walk. That's the purpose. Coming to church isn't a checkoff mark. It's actually to help you grow, to be challenged, to strengthen you in your Christian battle. We're to become stronger. We're to become equipped to share the gospel, to defend the faith. Self-defense. Instead, it's gospel defense. And so, huge difference. But in our passage today, did you notice Peter's not doing that? And how long has he trained? He's trained for 3 years. 4 years is usually what it takes to get a black belt. So he's been with the master for 3 years, but he's acting like a chicken. Chicken. And if you notice, his statements get more and more intense as they continue to ask him. And here's the thing. Who's asking?
A little girl.
A little girl. Peter is not only being a chicken, but he's afraid of a little girl. In Mark 14, 68, you can just jot it down. He says this. He says, when being asked, he says, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. In other words, he's saying, me no speak the English. What's she saying? I don't know what you're saying. Your speech betrays you. Me no speak English. What are you saying? Wow. Luke 22:61. Here's a heavy duty. Luke 22:61 says that Jesus was able to hear Peter deny him. He was in the courtyard. Jesus is there, and here's his number one guy, his right-hand man, Peter, the rock. And he hears him deny him. I don't know the man. Jesus probably looked at him with all the love that Jesus' eyes ever contained, looked at Peter and just said, really, dude? You're denying me? You're abandoning me? Peter's in the middle of a conversation. Remember, he's warming his hands by the fire, right? They were probably there talking about Jesus. Oh, yeah, that guy claimed to be the Messiah. Yeah, they say he healed people, but I don't believe it. Peter could have said, man, I was there. I've seen it. You know you've seen it. Hey, we healed your cousin. Hey, we healed your sister. Jesus healed a lot of people, a lot. Oh, he claims to be the Messiah, mocking Jesus. And Peter, what does he do? He says nothing. He says absolutely nothing. You know, 1 Timothy 6:12. You're familiar with this. 1 Timothy 6:12 says this. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight? I thought being a Christian was about sitting the good sit. Listening the good listening and worshiping the good worship. What is all those things? But all those things, the sitting and listening and learning and worshiping, are to prepare you for the fighting. The fight? I didn't sign up to fight. Well, Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you, us, we. So yeah, there's a fight, folks. When you stand up for Jesus, especially nowadays, back in the 50s, you said you're a Christian? Well, everyone's a Christian. You went to school, they taught the Bible as English. It was part of the English course. You prayed, you did the Pledge of Allegiance. Today, you even wear a Christian t-shirt, you're in big trouble, mister. It's crazy. If you say you're a Christian, you're ridiculed. You're a joke. You're dumb. How sad. But Peter here is listening to them bash Jesus. You know they are. Jesus has been arrested. Listen, people will be behind a champion as long as he's champion. As soon as they fall, they start talking bad about him. Right? So Jesus, when he's running around healing people, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. But once he's got shackles on and been beaten, well, I'm not going to stand behind that guy. Crucify him, crucify him. And Peter, silent. Listen, Peter is probably having regrets of the past. Regrets of the past? Oh, yeah. Remember? Chopped off the ear in the garden? It's like, oh. Remember? Hey, Jesus, that won't happen on my watch. Get behind me, Satan. Satan, I'm Peter. Probably Peter also has regrets of the past and what fear of the future. They arrested Jesus. What if they arrest me? They've beaten Jesus. What if they beat me? What if they crucify him? They might crucify me. In fact, Jesus, you probably remember Jesus saying, hey, whoever wants to be my disciple must pick up his cross and follow me. Oh, wait a minute. I remember Jesus saying, pick up your cross and follow me. And he said he was going to go to the cross. It's happening. Does that mean I'm going to have to follow him and get crucified on a cross? I don't want to do that. I'll just keep my mouth shut. Now, we understand this, sort of. Pick up your cross and follow Christ. And listen, as Christians, some of us do. We pick up our cross. But you know what we do? We crucify ourselves between two thieves. Regrets of the past and fear of the future. Those two thieves that rob us of the ability to fight the good fight. They keep us from moving forward. They keep us from moving ahead. They keep us from progressing. They'll keep us from speaking up. In a crowd. Oh, you're a Christian? Oh, no, not really. I mean, I go to church. Come on, back off. I'm one of you. People do that. Listen, Will Rogers put it this way. He says, even if you're on the right road, if you are standing still, you're going to get run over. Listen, you may be coming to church. You may be a Christian. But if you're standing still, the enemy is going to mow you over. This Christian life is about putting on the armor. Now, why do we need armor? Because it's about a good fight. It's about a fight. And we need armor for the battle. And here's the beautiful part, folks. God has provided the armor through his son, Jesus. All you and I have to do is put it on. And the battle's already won. We get to participate in a battle that's already won. How about that? How about that? Hey, listen, Randy, we'd like you to play in the Super Bowl. Dude, I am so out of shape and old. That's okay. The game's already won, and you'll be on the winning team. You just got to put on the suit. Okay. Where's my ring? Got to put a ring on it. Anyways. God's saying this, folks. The Super Bowl's already won. Jesus already won it. And it doesn't matter. You just got to put on the armor and get out on the field and run through the plays. And it doesn't matter if you mess up a play. The game's already won. Peter's holding his own tongue. You know, sometimes as Christians, some will say, you know, I was over here, I was over there, and there were people talking, and they were talking bad about God. Some of them were taking the Lord's name in vain. You know, I was going to say something, Pastor Randy, but the Lord held my tongue. No. I think you were holding your own tongue because you had fear of the future and fear of the past, and you were crucified and not moving. Not good. Or they'll say this, the Lord held my tongue. And you know what? I'm never going to go over there again. You know what? If you don't want to go over there, tell me where it was. I'll go. Why? Who are we to take the gospel to? Good people? No, sinners. In fact, the more ungodly they are, the more they need to hear the good news of the gospel. Don't say, I won't go there anymore. Go there, but stop holding your own tongue. Let God hold your tongue. Let him hold it and move your tongue for his glory. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. If you have Christ in your heart and someone takes his name in vain, guess who's going to jump out of your heart? Yeah. Listen, 1 Chronicles, 16:24 says this. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among the nations. We are to share the good news, the gospel, with heathens, unbelievers, sinners. People have a neighbor move in. It's like, oh, Pastor Randy, you need to pray for me. Why? Some people moved in next door and they're partying and they, you know, all hours of the night and people coming and going and, oh, just pray that they leave. And it's like, well, no, how about we pray that you have, you know, some opportunity to share Christ? Oh, no, not them. Why not them? Yes, them. That would have been me before I was a pastor. You'd be like, oh, that Mexican guy moved in next door. He's so loud. And obnoxious. If you're my next door neighbor, I'm sorry. Listen, I don't want to hold my tongue, folks. I want the Lord to hold my tongue, that he will move it for his glory. How about you? That we would fight the good fight. That we would become kung fu Christians. That we become proficient. Here's what, someone came to me on Wednesday night, I think it was Wednesday night, and said, Pastor, what is that? You know, what about when people say I want to witness with my life? I said, well, okay. In fact, I'll tell you who said that. It was not who in our church came to me. I didn't ask him if it was okay if I mentioned his name, but who originally said witness was St. Francis of Assisi. He said this, witness Christ, and sometimes use words. In other words, witness with your life. And I'll say this, I disagree with St. Francis of Assisi. First of all, never listen to a guy with sissy in his name. That ain't no kung fu Christian. No. No, but here's the thing. Saying always share Christ and sometimes use words, that's like saying this. That's like saying feed the poor and sometimes use food. No. Why? Because the Word of God says faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? The Word. So if all I do is live out Christ, then you know, that's not the Word of God. What's more powerful, the Word of God or the fact that I won't use profanity? The Word of God. The Word of God. Because you know what? There are some ungodly people that don't accept Christ that don't use profanity. Doesn't make them godly. In fact, let's think about this. Let me put it back to kung fu. There are probably some men in this church that know the arts, have studied martial arts. But if they didn't tell you, you'd never know. You'd see them, you'd go, okay, you know, guy walks around, he doesn't fall down a lot, he's got pretty good balance. But now if he tells you, yeah, you know, I'm a martial artist, now you're watching him, it's like, ooh. Was he going to kick somebody? What's he doing? It's like, but at work or at school or in your neighborhood, people see, you know, you walk away when there's a joke, dirty joke. You don't use profanity. You know, you don't go to the movies that they watch. And they're like, you don't drink. They're like, okay. They don't know why. But now if you tell them, well, you know, I'm a Christian and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they know when you're living your life, why you're doing it and unto who. But here's the other thing. Once you tell them you're a Christian, guess what? Now they're watching you. It's like, is he going to kick somebody? No. They want to watch you, and that's good. But the first thing you have to do is qualify. You have to qualify. You have to let them know I'm a Christian. And then if you really want them to come to faith, you have to share the word of God. Jesus said this as well. How about in Matthew 10, 32? And you're familiar with this. You can jot down Matthew 10, 32. If you confess me before men, then I will confess you before my Father in heaven. See that? If and then? Those are prerequisites. If, that's up to you. But if you choose to confess Christ before men, then he will confess you before his Father in heaven. Isn't that cool? Now, I think of a contrast to Peter. You know, Peter being afraid, being a kung fu chicken right now. And who would be the opposite of David? That would be, of Peter? That'd be David. Remember in 1 Samuel 17, the story that we all know, David and Goliath. Dun, dun, dun. You know what's funny? I'll just share. I showed the men, Mighty Men of Monday, I showed them a video of this Jewish guy. He's an author and considers himself a theologian of some sort. And he taught about David and Goliath. And he said that David was not the underdog, Goliath was. And his whole explanation was so laughable. But we know that David and Goliath theme, that Goliath was huge. He was the champion of the Philistines, and David was a scrawny little kid. Okay. Well, in Samuel, 1 Samuel 17, Goliath is there, and he's offering up his challenge to the Israelites for 40 days, both evening and morning. And he's cursing the God of Israel. And all of the Israelites are afraid. They're all kung fu chickens. They see Goliath and they start pecking at the ground. All afraid. But David has never heard the threats of the giant. He's never heard his challenges. He's the first time on the scene, and he hears it once. He hears the giant curse God once, and David is livid. He's standing alone while the Israelites are in the background pecking at the ground. He's standing there saying, oh, this, ooh, ooh. What does that say? Before we look at what it says about David, what does that say about the Israelites, God's chosen people? What does it say about their heart? They heard it twice a day for 40 days. Can you imagine 40 days? It's a month and 10 days, a month and over a week. Every day, twice a day. And all they do is, I'm not going to go out, you're going to go after him. But he's cursing our God. I don't care. Wow. I guess God was holding their tongues. Not. David is livid. Why is David livid? Because he's in harmony with God, right? Where has David been? He's been out with the sheep. Yeah, I picture David kind of like Jean-Claude Van Damme with a sheep here and a sheep there doing a split, practicing his sling. No, I'm just teasing. No, you know how he was training? He was writing worship songs. He was worshiping the Lord from his heart. He's been training to fight the good fight. David, remember what the Bible says about David? He's a man after God's own heart. What that means is, let's say, are you a man or a woman after God's own heart? Here's how you know if you are. The things that make God livid make you livid. The things that hurt God's heart hurts your heart. The thing that God doesn't like, you don't like. The things that God disdains, you disdain. You see, that's a man or woman. It doesn't mean you live perfectly. What it means is your heart is connected to God. And in this situation, they're cursing God. And David was a man after God's own heart. His heart's in line with God. So all of a sudden, he turns it into kung fu theater. David comes down. Goes down to the water. That brook. He feels that cold water on his toes. It's early in the morning. Sun, beautiful white clouds. It's crisp air. Grabs some stones. He looks up. There's that giant. and he runs at the giant. Think about that. He runs at the giant. He's a little pipsqueak. Then he starts swinging his sling like nunchucks. Takes a Bruce Lee stance and lets it fly. And that thing goes, bing, takes the giant out. And the Philistines, they see their champion drop, and all of a sudden they become like chickens. Over a little kid, over David. One little kid turns the Israelites into champions and the Philistines into chickens. Do you realize the same is true in this church? All it takes is for one person to stand up for Christ, and many will follow. Do you realize at one point when I first got here that my family and I were the ones standing for Christ, and others have now followed? You can do the same thing. That's why 1 Peter 3:15 says this: be ready to give a defense to everyone for the hope that is in you. Do you have hope in you? Amen. Then give a defense. Don't defend the Bible. The Bible will defend itself. But give a defense why you put your hope in the Bible. I don't have to defend the Bible. The Bible is so sharp. You pick it up the wrong way, people are going to get cut. But what I'm doing is I'm standing up for Christ. I'm confessing him before men. See, in Kung Fu, just like in Christianity, the emphasis is on defense. Give a defense for the life, the hope that's in you. Martial arts is self-defense. But do you realize this? There is a time to attack. There's a time to attack. Peter has two different encounters defending Christ pre-ascension. Pre-ascension, Jesus, first time, he's defending Christ. What does he do? Shing! He pulls out the sword, the wrong one, a real sword, instead of the Word of God sword, and he chops off the guard's ear. He's embarrassed. Jesus tells him, take a chill pill. The second time, Peter denies Jesus three times. He has total shame. Jesus has to come to him and ask him, Jesus, Peter, do you love me? Why the contrast? The first time when he chopped off the guard's ear, do you think the guard for a moment says, I wonder if Peter loves Jesus? No, that guard's going, oh man. Plus, on top of that, realize this, Peter was not a swordsman, he was a fisherman. He was probably aiming to chop his head off, not his ear off. Jesus doesn't look at him and say, Peter, do you love me? Put away your sword. No. His act of bravery, his willingness to step out when all these soldiers are around him and try and take somebody out was a sign that Peter was saying, Jesus, I love you. I'll die with you. I'll die for you. I don't care if they know. But Jesus said, put away your sword. But then what happens? Then he goes, and a servant girl, not a bunch of Roman soldiers, a servant girl, and he denies Jesus. And he does it three times, and Jesus has to come, Peter, do you love me, man? Listen, I love Jesus. I believe you do too. I would rather stand up for Jesus, maybe being too aggressive or too harsh, than to deny him at all. Someone says, well, I wasn't going to say anything because I might have been too harsh. Stand up for Jesus. Listen, if you chop someone's ear off being too harsh, guess what Jesus can do? He can heal that ear. But no one will deny the fact that you love Jesus. Listen, if I deny Christ, it might end up Jesus having to come to me and say, Randy, do you even love me? You sure are afraid to talk about me. Are you ashamed of me? Can you imagine a young man and young lady get engaged? She's wearing her ring. You say, oh, you got an engagement ring. No, I don't. No, I just saw it. No, you didn't. Are you embarrassed of who? Your fiance. What fiance? Oh, don't put that on me. I'm not one of those. It's like, can you imagine? No, what does a girl do? She kind of all of a sudden walks around this. Yeah, I'd like a burger, fry. let's see, what is that over there? Right? Isn't that how girls are? Because they're not ashamed. They're in love. And the dude's like, yeah, Sally's mine. All other dudes are losers in her eyes. That's awesome. That's called love. You're not ashamed when you're in love. That's why Jesus says, hey, Peter, do you love me? Why? You were ashamed of me. There's no shame in love. And 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, woe is unto me, here you go, if I preach not the gospel. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, it's heavy. How about this? 1 John 2:29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Jesus went around talking about the Father and the Holy Spirit. He was righteous. You and I, if we are righteous, if we are following in his footsteps, then we are going to practice righteousness, the same righteousness Christ did, displayed. We're going to talk about this in a minute, but it's not to earn our Christianity. Now, I think about this. Let's say I go and I share the gospel with someone, and I do it in a way that is way too strong, a little too harsh, a little too randy, right? Well, I know this. If the gates of hell cannot prevail against what God is going to accomplish, then I certainly can't mess it up. But I can act as if I don't love the Lord by not being proud of him and speaking out. Now, here's the thing. As a Christian, I do strive to learn to share my faith gently and meek and with a spirit of meekness. Do you realize this in Kung Fu? When you first start practicing Kung Fu, you're a little rough. You know, you throw a kick and it's like, smack. It's like, ooh, I'm sorry. It leaves a big bruise. But then after you practice and you practice, pretty soon you get good enough that you could throw your kicks and not hit. You just feel the wind, you know. It's like, here, I want to cool you off with my foot. You know, the more you practice, the same thing is true for Christianity. The more you walk in Christ, the more you will be able to share in a loving and a caring and a gentle way. God will use each time that you go and you share your faith, will use each time for you to gain control. In fact, what is one of the gifts of the Spirit? Self-control. The more I give myself over to the Spirit of God, the more self-control I will have. Another excuse for not sharing our faith. I don't know enough. I don't know. Pastor, I want to share, but I don't know enough. And I've said this a million times. You know enough for you to be saved. Just share what you know. If what you know was enough for you to make a decision to accept Christ, then just share that. Because if it was enough for you, it'll be enough for someone else. You know, Pastor Gilbert's not going to stand at the door with a little Bible in his hand and say, grasshopper, when you can snatch the Bible from my hand, you are ready to go. No, he's not going to do that. He wants to do that, but Pastor Gilbert's not going to do that. We need to go now with what we know. And by the way, you notice on the door when you exit, it says you're now entering the mission field. That is to remind you that you and I should be recognizing that you came, this is our dojo. This is where we come to train, to get strong, so that we can go out there and we can fight the good fight, that we can defend the faith. And we need to go. Why? People need to hear it. It reminds me of a poor woman who was so destitute her whole life, living in the inner city begging. And one day someone took her and cleaned her up, and then they took her to the ocean, thought she had never seen the ocean. And she sat and she wept and she said, I never thought I would see an abundance of anything. Listen, there are people who are spiritually bankrupt. There's people who are so spiritually poor. There are people who need to see the vastness of God's mercy and grace and to realize there's no end. Well, Pastor, you don't know how bad I've been. Well, you don't know how good our God is. Amen. Now, notice Jesus, or remember, Jesus will come to Peter after the cross. Jesus will come to Peter and say, do you love me? And he'll say this, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Tend to my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. He says, feed my sheep twice, tend to my sheep once. Why feed my sheep? What he's saying is, go tell the people my word. Remember, the word of God is the water and the bread. Give them something to drink. Give them something to eat. Tend to them. He doesn't say, hey, Peter, go live out a good life and let them see your example. He doesn't say that. He says, feed them. Give them the word. That is so important. They are hungry. They are thirsty. Hey, Peter, be brave this time and get in there and fight the good fight. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 9. As my Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So Jesus is saying this. Guys, you want to abide in my love? You say you love me? You know what I did? I did whatever the Father told me to do. That I did. You love me like I love the Father? I'm setting the example for you? Then you should do what I do. He says, so just as I kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love, he says this, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than he lay his life down for his friend. You are my friend if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friend. For all the things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, here you go, and appointed you that you should bear fruit, and that fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, love one another. So how can I say that I love you if I know that you don't know Jesus, and without Jesus, you're going to H-E double hockey sticks? How can I say that I love you if I don't take the time to tell you? Well, the Lord's holding my tongue. No, he isn't. The Lord desires that none should perish, that all come to repentance. You're the one holding your tongue. You're the one being a Christian chicken. I remember I used to have this thing called prayer and share. It's equivalent to what we call door-to-door ministry, which they're going to go meet today. They're going to go out and do door-to-door witnessing. It's a great ministry to be involved in. But I did it for many years, and I remember this one time. I'll never forget it. We went to three separate houses. We actually went to many houses, but three houses really stuck out in our mind. Why? Because three different houses, these three different men said the exact same thing to us. And it was like deja vu three times in a row. All said the same things. All had someone at work who had been sharing with them the gospel. They all three said, oh, yeah, their friend of mine at work's been telling me about Jesus. Even one of them broke down in tears. But you know what was sad? Not one of them accepted Jesus that day. And yet, we were blessed. You know why we were blessed? Because we were blessed to know that there was someone else out there that was sharing the love of Christ, that we weren't the only ones doing it. And yet, we also come to the realization that there are many, many others who aren't saying a word and are claiming that God is holding their tongue. But we found some encouragement in that day. See, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see when the church is adding to its numbers. But do you realize the world is multiplying? We're losing ground, folks. The enemy is taking more ground. We are to storm the gates of hell. Why? To pull those out from the fire. Romans 10:15 tells us this: how beautiful are the feet of them who preach the gospel of peace. I go home, take off my shoes, look at my wife, say, I must not be doing a good job because look at those ugly dogs. No, it's a spiritual feat, not a physical feat, thank God. I love what Warren Wiersbe, one of my favorite all-time quotes, when I read this the first time in Warren Wiersbe on being a servant of God, by the way, we have that book in the bookstore, it's fantastic, I've read it numerous times. One of my favorite quotes from the book is this: God is as concerned about the servant as he is the service. If all God wanted to do was to get the work done, he could have sent angels and they would do it better and faster. But he not only wants to do something through us, he wants to do something in us. And that's why he employs us to help him spread the gospel. He could do it without us. We get the privilege and the honor of proclaiming Christ to his glory. And people say, but Pastor, what it sounds like you're saying is that we have to earn our Christianity. That is not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is, here you go. Birds, I've said this, birds. Birds fly. To prove they're birds? No, because they are a bird. Because they can. Because they have that ability where other animals don't. You and I as Christians, we can fly spiritually where others can't. We can have that joy and that glory in difficult times. But did you realize there's a bird that's still a bird and it can't fly? I call it a chicken. A chicken can't fly, and guess what happens to the chicken? It gets eaten. The enemy, the devil, roams around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to eat some chickens. Christian chickens. Faith, James chapter 2, verse 17. Faith without works is dead. Another excuse people often give me. I'm not good at sharing. I'm not a good speaker. You know who also said that? Moses. Moses over in Exodus 4:10. I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech, slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who's made man's tongue, mouth? Or who made the mute? Who made the deaf, the seeing, the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what to say. But he said, Moses says, back to the Lord, O Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may. And then if you jump down to 14, it says, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Brothers and sisters, here's the fact. Did God reject Moses from that point on? No. No. You'll see Moses in heaven. But God's anger was kindled against Moses. I don't know about you, but I don't want God to be angry with me. I want him to be pleased with me. God wants us to go. God desires that none should perish, that all come to repentance. He wants to use you and I to get that message. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. You know what? We must look silly to the angels. You know why? God, Jesus, has paid for this beautiful, spectacular spiritual armor. I bet when we get to heaven, we get to see this armor, we're going to be like, whoa, that's awesome. All of a sudden, we sound like Keanu Reeves. Okay, dude. Where's my armor? Anyways, that's the wrong guy. Okay, anyways, But here we have this beautiful armor for battle. Here we go. We put on the armor, you know, and then what do? We sit on the sidelines. Or we take the shield and we cut up little hors d'oeuvres and we put them on the shield and we serve little hors d'oeuvres, never giving someone the full gospel, just little tidbits, little things here and there. Merry Christmas. Oh, here, an hors d'oeuvre. Someone sneezes. Oh, God bless you. Ooh, an hors d'oeuvre. But never really giving them something of substance. And the angels are looking down and saying, that's not what the shield is for. It's for a fight, not hors d'oeuvres. Young teenager playing high school football. His daddy was blind. And his dad would normally sit way up in the bleachers at the very top, all by himself, closest to the speaker, because he couldn't see. He wanted to hear every play. One day, the coach noticed that the dad wasn't sitting up there. And all of a sudden, the kid hit the football field, and he was just tearing up the field. Blocks, tackles, just blowing everyone away. And after the game, he won the game for the team. The coach went up and said, what happened? And the boy said, my dad died yesterday, and today was the first time he ever got to watch me play. The Lord is watching us. He wants to see us get, it's not a game though. This is the difference. We're not trying to score a touchdown. We're trying to bring the lost into salvation. We're trying to lead them to the victory in Christ. So think about Jesus on the cross. What his purpose of going to the cross was. Let me ask you, have you denied Jesus Christ? You claim to be a Christian, but you've denied Christ because you're ashamed. Do you love the Lord? Are you truly in love with him to where you're not ashamed? I don't care who knows it. If you love the Lord, ask yourself this. What can I do for the Lord's glory today? And you know what? If you ask, you shall receive. That's what God says. Now, maybe you're like, well, Pastor, I don't know where to start. Well, here you go. Here's a good place to start today. Door-to-door ministry after second service. There you go. And someone asks them, hey, well, do I have to share right away? No. You can just go to the door-to-door ministry, and you can just be there as a prayer partner and watch how they do it, and you're participating. There's one place to start. Another place to start, after Easter, I'm going to have this class, Sharing Jesus Without Fear class. I'm going to put the sign up, but I'm not going to start it until after Easter. You can join that and learn how to share your faith more effectively in the worst place. I like this old Chinese proverb that says, 1,000-mile journey begins with the first step. You must make a first step or you'll never get moving in the direction. So let's train our vision to worship. Let's train through worship. Let's fight the good fight and share the gospel. That's worship, and then that's win. Fighting the good fight and sharing the gospel. Let's then, when we become mature, let's then bring others into this dojo and train them up, disciple. And then let's repeat the cycle and send them out. Send, worship, win, disciple, and send. I think of Mary's pregnancy as a beautiful example to us. What? Mary received the Holy Spirit and Jesus was born and she presented him to the world. If you've received the Holy Spirit, now present Jesus to the world. Now, are you a Kung Fu Christian? Fighting the good fight? Training to share the gospel? Are you a Christian chicken? Someone mentions the name of Jesus or blasphemes him or says something, and all of a sudden you turn and start pecking at the ground. You run away. Are you a Kung Fu Christian? If you're a Kung Fu Christian, I say fight. With bravery. I say fight the good fight. I say fight not like a chicken, but fight like the lion of the tribe of Judah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us the call in our lives to worship you, to share you with others, to tell others about you. to lift up the name of Jesus Christ in the dark places, to let those who've never heard hear. And Father, I pray this morning, as we are here, I don't know, maybe there's someone here who's never accepted Christ and they've never seen Christianity in this light. Maybe there's someone here who needs to accept you for the first time. Maybe this morning there are some here, some Christians, who know that they need to be braver, who know that they've been holding their tongue and saying that you are holding their tongue. Father, you gave us a tongue to speak your praises. And so, Lord, as we're going to sing a song, I want to give an opportunity for anyone who wants to come forward and ask for an extra dose of spiritual infilling, for anyone who needs a fresh outpouring, for anyone who wants to receive you for the first time, for anyone who just needs prayer because they're not sure where you want to use them. I'm going to ask that we all, no one leave, that everyone stand and sing this song, and then everyone who needs to come forward for prayer, for any of those things, whether you want to receive Christ for the first time, whether you need a fresh outpouring, whether you need more bravery to speak out for Jesus, whatever it is you need, we want to give you a chance to come forward and pray. So let's all stand.